A poll question today. Lots of people chiming in. In light of news in California, 10,000 people are registration is down by 10,000 as far as football is concerned in the last 3 years. Wondering what your choice is as far as getting into sports, and if you had a child. Do you got an update on it, Joe?
I do.
You can find it as to what sport you would register in. We've given you several options.
Yeah, right? The options that we've got are either soccer, hockey. We have split baseball and softball into the same category. And then we've got other, which could be anything from football, basketball, lacrosse. And right now it's dead even. 41% of the voters each are going with either soccer or hockey. 15% of the vote has gone to baseball or softball, and just 3 is in that other category. I would think that when all is said and done, soccer is going to win this by a landslide. We're talking about registering your kids
for a sport.
If you had to just choose one, what would it be? It surprises me a little bit, but it doesn't, considering the market that we're in, that hockey has garnished this many votes, because that's one of the most expensive sports just to put your kid in, even if it's in a house league. You've got to go buy a stick. You've got to go buy skates. You've got to go buy shin pads, elbow pads, equipment up top, and a helmet. Soccer, all you have to do is buy boots and shin pads.
I would like to see, and there probably is data, though, but if you were to take an age group of, say, because we've got several texts coming in, and it's been about soccer, and it's been about concussions. I would love to see the numbers, and we'll ask Michael Finley, who's been around Soccer Canada for the longest time, the number of concussions in hockey between ages 10 to 15 and the number in soccer, because I bet you it's a lot closer than people think. And it may even lead the way towards soccer.
I would think right now, you'd probably have more athletes getting concussed in soccer.
Because you're not hitting at a young age.
And quite frankly, you're not protected as well.
No.
You're not protected. We had a text come in here. This is an unnamed text saying, a quick comment about concussions in soccer. Doctors suspected my brother may have CTE as a result. Obviously, we won't know until he's deceased, but it shows all signs. Was always biggest and fastest on his team, so his head was always involved. Something to just keep in mind. And I think we talked about that. Your daughter played soccer at a very high level. Continues to play recreationally, right?
No, not right now. She might jump back into it this year, I think. But as a coach, there were several times we saw some kids concussed, and you had to know what to do. You didn't just go, hey, are you okay? Can you play again? It's, no, let's go through some appropriate protocol. They've made a bunch of changes the right way. But I wonder if some people, when you think of that, just they don't realize that, hey, there is a big physical nature to the game. Let's continue this conversation as we say hello to longtime Soccer Canada coach Michael Finley. Michael, how are you this morning?
Good, Perry. How are you?
Good, thank you. Topic of conversation we've got into today, news that football registration in the state of California is down 10,000 over the last 3 years. And I think we can relate it to concussions. That's the obvious link. We've had several texts come in today, Michael, about soccer. You've spent a lifetime around this game at all levels. How prevalent are concussions in the sport of soccer? Have you seen it increased? I think the knowledge has increased to realize, hey, maybe that player should be pulled out a little bit. But where's your take on this?
Well, I think first and foremost, any sport that we're playing today that has physicality in it is going to have, you know, situations where head injuries can happen. You know, specifically around my football, soccer, I think the educational component has really serviced the game immensely in terms of being able to identify things. I mean, you know, back in the day, as they say, you know, the equipment itself was even a danger for footballers based on the type of ball they were using. And there was really no support medical staff in and around the game to identify the issues and symptoms in match or even out of match. You never saw anybody years ago sort of going through the post-match concussion protocols that you would see today. You know, people talk about, you know, the heading of the ball as being something to be concerned about. I think at the end of the day, due to the way the game is progressing, there is less and less of that type of activity to concern ourselves with, and hopefully the education of teaching players how to properly head the ball as assisted that. But there's no doubt it's a concern, but I think it's the medical side of the game that has really assisted us in understanding that, because there was some, you probably remember, both of you, there was some really bad scenes in a number of competitions the last couple of years where, you know, players were definitely concussed and they just sort of were given freedom to go back into play. And that was both unprofessional and embarrassing at the same time. So hopefully that's not going to happen again.
Can you coach kids differently? I mean, we know heading the ball, don't worry about that. But I mean, at the end of the day, in that sport to be good at, especially if you're playing on a back line, there's got to be a no fear factor and going up and realize collisions might be part of it.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's always technique that is taught to players at a very young age, spatial awareness, understanding, you know what their body actually can do and what the body can't do in terms of assenting to challenge a ball in the air. The technique of actually heading the ball. At what age do these players begin that process? What type of equipment do you use to teach them? All of those are critical things. I mean, I remember being involved in a coach education scenario where, you know, they're young kids and the beginning process was to use balloons in terms of understanding, you know, what was going to be involved in heading the ball, and then slowly progressing through into using you know, the ball that they were going to use. But it's something that has to be directed by your technical directors within your clubs, and the direction that you get from coach education are critical areas for teaching kids in those components.
Michael Findlay, former coach with our national men's team, joins us here on the starting lineup. Perry Sokowski, Joey Kenward. All right, let's talk about the footy team in this market. Another frustrating finish for soccer fans to witness at BC Place. 3 points looked like they were in the bag for the Whitecaps Saturday afternoon, Michael, but a late equalizer by the New York Red Bulls sees the game finish off 2-2. What did you make of Vancouver's overall performance and the end result on the weekend?
Well, I think obviously the result is going to be disappointing on numerous fronts, specifically, you know, for the players and Carl and his staff. You know, they've got to be, you know, extremely unhappy with the way the game ended, given the fact that they were in a position, I think, to kill it off and take the 3 points and go. And obviously the fans are going to be incredibly disappointing, because if there's one thing that you see from this team right now is their level of consistency to be inconsistent, and it's a frustrating position to be in, and it's obviously going to be frustrating for anybody who's involved in delivering the product. So it was something of two halves. You know, you don't seem to get any sort of flow from the team right now from game to game, but even half to half. And so these are areas that are going to be very important going into the next couple of weeks, because I think this is probably the most critical period of time they're going to find this season.
Is that the most frustrating thing for a coaching staff, Michael? Because you see it in a 45-minute segment, but you need it for 90, so you're going, hey, they have the ability, they just can't do it, and the challenge is almost not physical but mental, going, how come you guys can't figure out 90 minutes of this, only 45?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, my expectations would be that the, you know, Carl and his staff have spent time in prepping the team, obviously, for any match that they play. You know, when they don't see things happening the way that the plan has been set out, they're going to make their appropriate changes that they want to make. And you saw something very similar at that happening against the New York Red Bulls. The area that would probably drive them crazy is that, you know, you've given away a free kick, which you quite frankly shouldn't have been given away at that time of the game. And, you know, you've let someone drift in off that back post when, you know that's a critical moment to be focused and to be turned on, and they weren't, and they got punished for it.
9 games left on their sched. It's not all doom and gloom as far as the standings are concerned, but they are in 8th. Only 6 make the postseason in MLS, and they're 3 back of that final playoff spot. They're going to play a lot of home games over the next month and a half, Michael. Is it imperative that they win out whenever they're at BC Place if they want to be a postseason team in the MLS?
Yeah, I definitely think the results at BC Place, you know, have to be forefront in their thoughts. You know, I think the next two matches, when you look at the schedule, it's kind of a two-match versus two-match situation with Seattle. I mean, Vancouver has a back-to-back scenario with San Jose, who, you know, even though they did squeeze a point out on the weekend, have struggled. And, you know, the expectation would be that Vancouver would come out on top on those matches, you know, given the home and away scenario. And you've got Seattle got two games I think are a little bit tougher for them in this situation, Portland and Kansas City. So there's opportunity here. I mean, Seattle has found a rhythm. They're on a roll. You know, they seem to have solved the issues they had earlier in the season, and coming into the game that they're going to play against Vancouver, that's going to be a critical one. And you've got a little bit of time on their side too. All of the teams, but Vancouver's, because you've got a Nations League situation coming up here for CONCACAF. So there's some work to be done, but in terms of, you know, solidifying the things that they do well, you know, you're not going to change this team mid-season. They are who they are, and they need to do the things that they do well, very well. And that's what I think the fans and the club have to live with at this moment in time.
Michael, one quick one before we go and play a little Under Pressure, and you're welcome to play Under Pressure. You have to phone in, though. You get no help.
Yeah.
It was about 13 months ago where Alfonso Davies was a big part of that Gold Cup run. You were part of the Canadian coaching staff. Would you have ever imagined 13 months later we'd be in this situation with him on his way to Bayern Munich when the season's done?
No. I don't. I knew Alfonso had talent, and I knew Alfonso had things in his locker that not many people had, and I expected him to grow into his game. For him to be at this point and being assessed and the decision being made by Bayern to take him, I think you have to admit it's a surprise, but it's an amazingly positive surprise. And it'll be an interesting period of time for him, specifically on his learnings and exactly how far can he go, the competition he's about to encounter in the next number of years is going to be a real measuring stick on exactly what Alfonso Davies is. But we all have to remember, you know, he's still a young boy, and the weekend was a prime example of it. You know, when people aren't calling people out, but you look at the replay, you know, Alfonso contributed in a negative way on that goal in the end of the game, and that's part of his learning process. You've got to expect that those types of things happen. So this will be a period of time that he's going to learn. But he's an exciting individual. He's a great individual, and one of the things that I think that is going to bode him well, he's got the personality and he's got the passion for the game still, that if he keeps that fresh in his mind, he's going to find some real exciting times for him and wherever he ends up playing in the Bayern system over a number of years.
Michael, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. We'll catch up again.
Always. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, there's Michael Finley, okay. Longtime coach. Michael Finley, longtime coach with Soccer Canada. His thoughts coaching Alfonso Davies last year at the Gold Cup.
Sportsnet 650.